in the simplest sense of the word, lyric poetry is verse accompanied by the lyre. And early lyric poets, Greek lyric poets like Sappho and Alcaeus, performed their verse to music. But in a larger sense, lyric as a concept, right, as it developed in antiquity, was a kind of poetry that was different from the most important genre, which was epic. Epic is set, of course, in the world of the past, where gods and supermen, you know, act out their heroic exploits. Lyric is set in the world of the present and brings out the personal voice of the poet. The critic Peter Conrad puts it like this, and I love his formulation. He says, "The lyric protagonist is not a man who does things, but a man to whom things happen. If the epic is a social act, the lyric is a personal testimony. The lyric is the interior of epic. It testifies to the vulnerability of the character inside the armor." Close quote, and that's Peter Conrad. Well, the greatest of the Roman lyric poets was probably Catullus, and I want to read to you a tiny little poem of his, number 85, that illustrates this basic point, even if, technically speaking, this one is not in a Greek lyric meter. It's rather in the what's called the elegiac couplet, which consists of a line of hexameter, which is, as the name implies, 6 feet. It's got 6 metrical feet, followed by a pentameter, which has 5. Actually, a 2.5 plus 2.5 equals 5 in the second line. I'm going to read it to you in Latin quickly, and then read a few translations just to see which ones you like best. All right, the Latin is as follows. Well, I'll give you my own translation first. I hate and I love. Why I do this, perhaps you ask. Perhaps you ask why I do this. I don't know, but I feel it happening. I perceive that it is occurring, and I am tortured, excrucior. Od yet amo, qua rit faciam fortasse requiris, nescio, sed fieri sentiet excrucior. All right, so it starts with that just bald paradox, right? Odi et amo. And then the rather sort of genial indirect question, well, perhaps you ask, it's very civilized, perhaps you ask, why do I do this? And then he gives the answer, and then his real emotion comes out. I don't know. But I feel that it's happening, and I'm being crucified. Literally, excrucior is kind of the key word in the last position. X implies intensity, and crucior is related to crux, which means crucifixion. So, all right, so here are three translations. I'll start with one by C.H. Sisson, S-I-S-S-O-N, and this was published in 1967 in his collection of all of Catullus's poetry. I hate and I love. You may well ask why I do so. I do not know, but I feel it and suffer. All right, so that one's just extremely straightforward and very kind of flat, really. I mean, I feel it and suffer. It's not very dramatic, not very emotive, I guess. It's very sort of prosaic and conversational. Horace Gregory takes sort of the opposite approach and goes for a really melodramatic and intense presentation of this. His translation dates from 1956, and he puts the word hate in all capital letters. So imagine that. I hate and love. And if you ask me why, I have no answer. But I discern, can feel, my senses rooted in eternal torture. Right, so that's a much more hot, you know, translation in the sense of emotionally hot. He gets X there with eternal. I mean, that's a very vivid and way to do it. And the repetition of I discern, can feel, he sort of double translates, you know, sentio, to really emphasize the internal emotion there. Number three, the last, will be my favorite translation of all of the translations of Catullus. And this is the one by Frederick Raphael and Kenneth MacLeish, published in 1979. I hate and I love. Why do that? Good question. No answer, save, I do. Nailed through either hand. Now, that is genius, because he captures something about Catullus which is really essential, is that he has this very emotional side, but he's always slightly distanced and amused, especially in himself. And he kind of teases himself a lot. And there's a certain element of self-mockery in this poem. The sincerity of the Horace Gregory one is, I think, is a little misplaced, that there's a kind of irony and playfulness through this poem and lots of others of Catullus. So that's my vote, Raphael McLeish, but I'm sure you have your favorites too. So hope you like that, and I'll see you next time.